Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's up, everybody? It's Joe LaPuma. You are listening to the Complex Sneakers Podcast. I am with my guy, Matt Welty.
Hi, I'm here. I'm still alive.
And, of course, my man, Brendan Dunn, unscathed.
Feeling energetic. Feeling, you know, feeling a lot of ways.
Are you? You got a hat on today. I never see you with a hat.
This big mane of mine is looking a little untamed, so I had to kind of try and get it under control. You know, I'm proud of my hair, but it's under the hood today.
Mine is unruly. I'm wondering if, like, has anyone you know done house calls? No, right? Too risky at this point still.
I'm not going there.
Joe LaPuma definitely has, like, the male IG thought hat on right now.
God. Where's that hat from, Joe? It says privacy, please. It's from a fancy hotel, right?
It's from the Standard in LA, yeah. Okay. How'd you know that?
Too fancy for me.
No. The Standard's not that fancy. I love the Standard, but it's not that fancy. Trust me. It's right on Sunset. That's where the crew stays a lot when we're in LA shooting sneaker shopping.
Man, a couple more episodes of The Last Dance are out. We have to address one thing. Wealthy sources did not come through this week.
No, they didn't.
No,
they did not.
He's one for two.
Yes, one for two.
Here's why I'm bringing it up. So we mentioned on the last week of the podcast, Wealthy did have some good sources telling him there was going to be a surprise Jordan drop to go with the first two episodes of The Last Dance on Sunday. He was right. They had it at 9 p.m. Eastern. He said it was going to happen again this week. I sent a taunting text to someone at Jordan Brand who didn't know about the last one or told me they didn't know. And now I look like an idiot. So I'm putting it all on Matt Welty.
We put our trust in the bearded god, and he bricked it. What happened, Welty? The cook group? What's it called?
No, I had gotten word that there may have been a exclusive access on an Air Jordan 1 on the sneakers app, and it just didn't happen. Also, though, that week I did get a bit of the scoop on the Skunk Dunks dropping at a certain time.
You got scoops. That's true. Should we keep score? You're one for two on the Jordan thing, but two for three, I guess, scoops overall in the past week.
Yeah.
Are you one for three on the internet this week, or what? What's the batting average?
You see 0 for 10 on Twitter.
Oh, man.
You had an interesting week on the internet. You had a take that didn't go over well, doubled down on it. The good thing about this podcast is it is a platform to where we could address things every week without having it to live in like 140 or 160 characters. Yeah. So if you haven't heard, bring our audience up to speed.
We're probably going to discuss it more in length during the episode, but just to set the stage for it, there was a debate on the internet this weekend about who made Air Force Ones cool, Nelly or ASAP Rocky. I think a lot of like OG sneakerheads kind of had a take that, hey, it was neither of them, right? Like they weren't the person that made Air Force Ones originally pop. A lot of people think it's Jay-Z, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, that's or if you want to go further back, people think it's Hustlers, right? Like before Jay. So Angel Diaz, Complex employee of Joe Budden fame.
Oh, come on. No, Angel Diaz of Complex editorial fame.
Go ahead. That's what I mean. Yeah, but some of you guys may know him from the viral Joe Budden clip. Went on saying, like, Nelly was never cool, like, around me. Like, a lot of y'all were wearing, like, Vocal back in the day. And then I don't think he got taken down, but he got, like, attacked by, like, a lot of people for that take. I probably should have read into it more because I was just never a big Nelly fan growing up. He was a little too pop for me. Mm-hmm. But in my traditional fashion of oversimplifying thoughts where I should probably think them out more for just to get a good tweet, I was like, if you thought Nelly was cool, you weren't cool, which, you know, was way too simplified of a thing and, you know, a little too much. And I got like attacked on Twitter from it, just like from the most like random people. It wasn't like, you know, any like big name people like calling me out. It was just like the Twitter mobs like
There were a couple blue checks, right? There were a couple blue checks in your mentions.
What does a blue check mean if I have more followers than they do?
Oh, boy. Wait, what? Do you think this was your biggest internet scandal recently? Yes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened. And then, you know, it was whatever. It was late. I shouldn't have even, like, tweeted it. And then I sent out another tweet kind of referencing the KRS battle that Nelly had. And then people were, like, got mad at me for that.
People got mad.
Interesting, though, because we can get into it. KRS-One actually tapped by Nike for the Air Force One song classic with Kanye West.
And Never forget.
The 25th anniversary, right?
Yeah, so he had some sort of actual say in that shoe as far as the official storytelling goes. But, you know, got attacked. I never delete tweets, but I was just like,
I was surprised, bro. I was very surprised because this is what I will say. I disagree. I thought Nelly was super cool. When I was in UConn, it was like when the Nelly boom was happening, and like I was definitely a big fan. So I disagreed with your take. However, it is like the most on-brand Matt Welty type of tweet and type of whole situation. But I woke up Saturday and the tweet was deleted. I was like, there's no way he deleted it. And you did delete it.
Yeah, it was just – I never do it. And like, you know what? Just the mentions were crazy.
I just hit the mute button.
Yeah, I probably should have done that. I didn't even think. I was just like, you know what? This is stupid. Like, it's not the hill I want to die on, you know?
Right,
and you're not dead.
Yeah, I'm not dead. Yeah. Didn't kill me.
Hairline is even thicker than last week, so, you know.
Yeah, I got the fucking, like, Dan Bilzerian beard going on. it wasn't really worth it. And I was just like, you know what? Screw it, because my mentions were just nuts. And, like, the sort of things I was getting said to in my mentions, which I don't even want to go into, is just like, it's not even an argument, like, worth happening. And then I thought it was gone. And then ATATF, the Atlanta sneaker
shouts to them though, they're OGs,
and they're like, everyone's can have their opinion, but this one doesn't sit right with me. Mm-hmm. and they posted my tweet, and then I made a couple comments to people in there, but like nothing, I didn't say anything crazy. I said hey, I thought Jay-Z was more influential than Nelly.
Can we talk about one forgotten influencer on the Air Force One? How about Anna Wintour this week? We saw that photo of her going jogging. I think it was the Colin Kaepernick Air Force Ones.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What a random photo. Who's jogging in Air Force Ones?
Yeah, that's definitely not functional.
That's not safe.
And it's not even like one of those lunar ones, right? It's just like a regular...
No, I don't get it, man. I need to get back out here running, man. I've been a little lazy the past couple days, guys.
B, that's bullshit, because I called you Saturday morning, didn't answer him, and it was early, and I was like, oh, Dunn has to be up. He called back like an hour later. He's like, yeah, I just did my 14 miles. So he has
No. That was a little 6 mile run. And I haven't been out since then. I was going, actually, funny story, to pick up a watch from a friend so I could actually start timing my runs. I'm not going to say what brand the watch is because they didn't send me a free one. So if that watch brand wants to send me a free running watch, then I will mention the name. But yeah, I haven't been out since. I woke up at like 6 a.m. this morning with plans to, and I didn't follow through. I need to figure out a regimen. I need to figure out a schedule or something like that.
So then Welty goes through his thing, and then I wake up Sunday and like that viral video of the sneaker shopping checkout price comparison goes viral. And I was like,
Should we talk about that?
Here's the thing about that. It was actually
What was it? They were kind of lampooning everybody who checked out in episodes of sneaker shopping and saying the prices were way too high at Stadium Goods and Flight Club.
And it was actually a funny piece of content. The thing I would say, though, is like contextually – some of the shoes at different times, the prices vary, obviously. So they were taking like the lowest StockX price and then comparing it to what the celebrity actually paid. And, you know, contextually, you can't really change people's minds as to, well, if you look at it like this, but the stores don't really set the prices. The people do. And, you know, Don, I think it was you who said when you walk in those stores, like that's
the experience.
Yeah, they're not retail stores.
And we know StockX is going to be cheaper a lot of time. By the way, peace to everybody who got laid off at StockX. That's rough, man.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I think a lot of people know too, you know, talking to resellers, that if you want to get a shoe off for the high, you go to like Stadium Goods or Flight Club.
Yeah. Anytime I'm selling an expensive pair of shoes, I go to Flight Club. I do list a lot of stuff on StockX, but that's just like the cheaper stuff. By the way, I know I've pissed off a lot of people at StockX too, asking questions around there, but I really do genuinely feel for anybody who lost their job in these recent round of layoffs. That's so rough.
Absolutely.
It seemed a little, not shady, but a little like opportunist, like the layoffs. Like I know that things are going on with Corona and all that, but to kind of like, they threw the word Corona in to the press release where Scott Cutler, the new CEO who took over for
Luber,
for Josh Luber, kind of threw it in there as kind of like, oh, you know, as coronavirus is going on, but it didn't say that it's necessarily due to coronavirus.
Yeah.
And also a huge difference, I would say, too, between Josh Luber and Scott Cutler as far as, you know, people go.
I don't know much about
him. He's like a professional CEO. He didn't come in as like a sneaker guy. I think he was like at like Ticketmaster or something like that. They brought him in to help get the company like up over like the bump to have an IPO potentially.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like, is that they're ramping up for an IPO. That's kind of the implications laid out by the Input article. Input's an outlet who broke the news.
I met him at that when they got announced, evaluated as a $1 billion company. Mm-hmm. I was in a private room with him and Carly Kloss, I believe.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I was talking to Josh and, you know, it was in the Snark Park, the Snarkitecture thing over on Hudson Yards.
Yeah.
And they kind of have this like weird sort of thing you walk through. So it's all these like kind of rooms that are like, they have like fake walls in between them.
Okay.
And you're kind of like trapped in the space. And I'm just talking to Josh and then he's like, hey, this is Scott. And then all of a sudden Carly Kloss comes And I'm just like, and like, I think her manager, and I'm sitting there awkward, like, I need to leave this like conversation. Like, I'm not supposed to be standing here, like, talking to
sweating through your specials.
He wasn't rich enough for the conversation.
Yeah. Like, they were talking about like Carly, like, investing money in StockX and like all this sort of stuff, which is public information. But I'm just like, oh, I shouldn't be here right now. That was kind of one of those situations.
You guys get any new pickups lately?
I'm working on that Double Taps New Balance 992. I like those a lot.
Very nice.
Oh, I bought something.
What?
I bought something.
Oh, the bag, right?
Yeah.
This is the most wealthy purchase ever. I love this shit. Talk about it.
Now that I've like lived a much more healthy lifestyle, when I, you know, sometimes have a few drinks, I make smarter decisions, but they're absurd decisions. And I ended up buying a Bulgarian bag, which
is,
listeners who don't know, is like, it's basically like a sandbag that you throw around like a kettlebell, but they're made like in Bulgaria and out of leather, and they're super expensive. And I spent $300.
Did they give you free shipping?
No, I paid like, dude, I think they shipped it from Bulgaria.
It actually comes from Bulgaria?
Yes. Like, it's not just a Bulgarian bag. It's actually, like, produced from, by a guy named Ivan Ivanov, the most Bulgarian name of all time.
Honestly, makes total sense.
Yeah. It's supposed to come in today by end of day. So
we need a video. We need an unboxing for sure. I bought some new Casablanca gear, too. I'm a big fan of the brand. I talk about it all the time, but I'm hyped for that. Spent a little bit of money. Joe, what about you? Some more StockX acquisitions?
I don't know if we mentioned it. I got the Union 180s delivered. They are a little yellow, but I'm so happy to have those in my collection. We did mention it, I think, last week, and there is conflicting reports if they're going to collapse or not. Yeah. But
did you put them on your feet?
I didn't put them on my feet yet. I got no place to go, but we'll see.
Speaking of collection, though, you should go on YouTube.com. and watch Joe LaPuma's sneaker rotation.
Oh, thank you.
Hold on. Not Joe LaPuma's sneaker rotation, the Webby Award nominated LaPuma. He's up for another one.
Thank you.
Joe, what is the category? Best host?
The category is best web personality and host, which I'm honored to get nominated in, and, you know, some stiff competition, but 2 years in a row getting nominated. Just thankful for everyone for the support. And
how can we support you? How do we stuff the ballot box?
You just go to webbyawards.com. You could search my name and vote there. So appreciate everyone's vote. And woke up to that this morning, and it's a good morning.
You also did the NFL draft.
NFL draft was fun. Rich Eisen, the legend. It was basically a revolving door, and Guy Fieri was right in front of me, and I was like, oh, Guy's on. Like, he was on the show, and I was like, put me in, and they put me in, and as soon as I got in, Guy was leaving. But
devastating.
It was devastating. And then the next night, I'm on my couch, like, ready to go to bed, and Khaled is live and patches me in the IG live.
Me and Khaled
went live, and he was, you know, talking that talk and talking about his new house. He's like copped new houses since we were last in Miami for Assad's first birthday. And he was like, we need to do like a 4-3 city like closet tour. So if that happens once we're out of here and allowed to travel and
maybe stuff, before Ramadan ends, we can link up for him with big iftar or something like that.
So that was fun. Khaled is hysterical, man. Let me tell you something, Dunn. This guy, GM of sneakers, still in the weeds. He's been screen recording You are a master screen recorder when it comes to that stuff.
We got to get the footage, man.
I don't even know how to screen record. Is it easy?
Yeah. No, it's very difficult, just in case a performance review comes up and, you know, I want that to look like an elite level skill that I've acquired.
So funny that Dave Matthews said DJ Greg Street is in ATATF. False. He's in ATF. Big difference,
oh,
buddy.
Oh, my God.
Chuck Slack. Oh, my God.
Lord, I don't have time for that.
Oh, my God.
He probably thought he's, like, in the ATF.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
It's funny. One of those old G-Rock videos, I think that they're referencing that, but G-Rock is like, now, what is ATF? Because there's some other... Yeah. It's not the other ATF.
Those videos were the best. Franelations. What was it? Sneak Geeks? Remember him?
Wealthy has crazy Sneak Geek stories.
I interviewed Sneak Geeks 2 years ago, Joe. For people who don't know, Sneak Geeks, like OG sneaker YouTuber.
Legend.
Unboxing, like, early shoes. But I interviewed him, and he, like, went down the Bitcoin rabbit hole.
Oh, did he? Did he get rich off of it?
I think it went down, but so he bought in at Bitcoin, and I don't know like the actual numbers, so I don't want to put them out there, but he bought it when it was basically like pennies, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he was at the point where I think a Bitcoin was like $10,000. So he paid like $10 for it or whatever. And then now, I don't know if that's the exact number, but he resold one pair of his Yeezys and bought Bitcoin with it.
Wow, smart.
Before the boom.
Before the boom. So he made like $1 million basically off of the flipping the Yeezys into Bitcoin.
Didn't he used to take the shoes and inhale?
Sniff them.
That can't be good for your brain cells. All those fumes over a period of months, years.
The only Bitcoin experience I have is my man Mark Fernandez, who used to be the director of sneaker shopping. We went into Uniqlo once and he paid for a t-shirt in Bitcoin.
I have some Bitcoin stories, but too many to get into here. But one thing I will tell you is my current Bitcoin assets stem from the Eagles Super Bowl win a couple years ago, where I was going in with a friend and we both laid like $400, and then they won. But my friend had just moved, I think, from California to New York. And so he couldn't cash out on the app because the address was in New York and it wasn't a legal thing for him to be doing sports betting. Yeah. So they said, we can give you a payout, but in Bitcoin. So we took our Bitcoin from there, so $400 worth then, and just haven't touched it since. So I don't know if I can buy a house or retire or what, but this might be the last time you hear me on this podcast.
You got to check that. Also, I didn't know you bet on sports games. How often do you do that?
And no one knows about Brendan. He's like not into sports, but like big sports gambler.
This is true.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Ask Adam Caparel.
Seems like we caught up. It's been a busy week since we last talked to each other. Today's another good one. Today's guest on the podcast is one of the country's most renowned hip-hop DJs. He began his radio experience as a 16-year-old at a boutique radio station and went on to work in a number of different markets from Alabama, Houston, Dallas, and most notably Atlanta, boasting a career of over two decades. If you find yourself in Atlanta at 6 p.m., V103 is the only station you need to be listening to. And when it comes to sneakers, your favorite sneaker collector doesn't have what he has. Check the internets for evidence. Please welcome to the show, DJ Greg Street.
What's up, Joe?
What up, Greg? How are you? Thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome, man. Anytime.
Me and Greg talk maybe a couple times a year, but Greg Street was one of my first press trips. He flew me out to Sneaker Friends. It's where I met Premium Pete on the the flight to Atlanta.
A legendary trip.
Oh, it was so legendary. Seat to the JL. I was looking up pictures. Seat to the JL. Remember him? And Marcus Troy. Ronnie was there. And I met I think Rick. It might have been the first time I met Mayer.
Yep. Rick Ross was there.
Rick Ross. It was at the compound.
Cool. Yep.
And Greg was an early, early innovator of sneaker community events that really brought people together. And, you know, for me, I am indebted to him because I've met a lot of close friends in the industry at that place. So, Greg, you know, I always tell you I appreciate it so much. But there's things like ComplexCon and SneakerCon, but you were really, really ahead of the curve with that one.
Yeah, Sneaker Friends is like an annual event, but it came about because Sneaker Friends was a launch party for showyourcollection.com. That's where G-Rock got the whole idea for the shoe game. That's where the whole shoegame.com thing came from. We still bring it back. We did one a few years ago when I partnered with the Atlanta Hawks and State in Phillips Arena. And then when they went into construction, we had to put a year off. And that year turned into 3 or 4 years. So now we're getting ready to start back up. Soon as this coronavirus stuff is over, we got some real big stuff in the making. I would definitely be in touch with you, Joe.
Love it, love it.
Will I be there, Greg? Or?
Of course. Of course.
Like, I don't need tickets. All I need is an economy ticket. That's it. I don't even need economy plus or anything.
And you know, you got to bring my brother Trinidad.
Oh yeah.
Wait, Nick James.
Nick James. I saw you on Camp James. You did Camp James back
then. I did Camp James like the third or fourth episode.
Yep.
Shout out to Trinidad.
In fact, you guys had Allen Iverson on the show the other day. You know what was crazy? The condo where we shot the Camp James episode, the same complex. We was all in the lobby one day. It was me, Wingo from Jagged Edge, Courtney Seals, and Allen Iverson. They was hanging out with Allen Iverson. And I went home. I told Courtney I was going to pull up on him. I went home and got my undefeated AIs, both pair, the black pair and the ones with all the colors, and had him sign them.
Yep, he signed them. I saw that online.
He signed them in the same building that I shot where Trinidad James Condo was at.
Amazing. Full circle.
In Atlantic Station.
You have signed the signed Yeezys, too. I know that that's something that always goes around the internet. Like the signed Kanye shoes is like one of the bigger flexes.
Yeah, that's a big flex.
Which pair?
What, the Bapes? I got the Bape sign. I got two of the Louis sign. And the ones, all of the ones. Mm-hmm. And one of the twos.
Greg, where does this sneaker stuff all start for you? Like, how far back does this obsession go?
Man, I can remember being a little bitty kid when you could only buy like real sneakers, like the real fly sneakers. You had to go to the sporting goods store to get them. Mm-hmm. Like Tom McGann had like their copy of the Chuck Taylor. They were called NBAs. Remember those? I'm surprised nobody's retro those.
Okay.
And everybody loved those because they were in the mall. And they had all the colors, and Converse only had like two or three colors, but NBA had like a rainbow of colors. When you walked in the store, they had all the colors. And I remember going to Smokey Sporting Goods in Hattiesburg on Pine Street across.
This is in Atlanta?
In Mississippi. Okay. When I was a little bitty kid when the Dr. J's first came out. You couldn't buy.
Gotcha.
Like people don't know the first sneakers, when the sneakers first became fly, like the first Nikes that went big, like the tennis shoe, they had the rubber toe. That was canvas with the light blue swish.
Right.
Those shoes wasn't in like sneaker stores. You had to go to the athletic stores where you bought your football pads and your baseball bats and your baseball jerseys. You had to go to those stores to get those shoes. So that's why it's like, I really like have a lot of respect for the retailers who really cultivated this whole movement and really believed in and saw something before it was actually a part of the fashion side.
When did you first notice it becoming like part of the fashion side?
In the mid late 80s, that's when it really started getting really fashionable. When the Jordans, I remember when the Jordan 1s and the Jordan 2s really weren't that popular. I remember when the 3s dropped. Eazy-E had them on the single cover to the radio song. I still have that suit, the parachute suit with the thing on the back. Those 3s were so crispy. And if any of you guys know about radio, my friend Skip Cheatham, who we worked together in Mississippi for a minute, worked in Mobile. And when I went to Dallas, I brought him to Dallas. He was the program director. And when we was in Mobile, we had all the cars, all the sneakers. This was like 87, 88. We had all the cars and all the sneakers every week when they dropped. I had a brand new BMW 325 IS in 1987.
In 1986, you got Chicago Ones, OG Chicago Ones, $34?
Yep.
How did that happen?
$34. They was on sale.
They just weren't as popular back then.
They were like, you got to think the Ones were number the Dunk, and Dunks weren't really that popular as far as fashion. Because they was just getting started.
We hear, you know, a lot of like the New York perspective on sneaker culture, but like what sneakers were like distinctly popular in the South around that time?
I mean, all of them. Air Force Ones was popular. The Flights was super popular. George was popular. The Agassiz, the Dions, the Bo Jacksons. All those sneakers were real popular in the South because you still had like Adidas, Puma, Reebok. All this stuff was real popular. Actually, for a minute, because when the sneaker culture started really getting corny in the beginning, when it started getting flaky, I started wearing New Balance.
Got it.
I started wearing like the 997s. I still got a pair of one of the original ones, the Diodora soccer shoes. I started wearing stuff like that. And then right after that, then I got into the SBs, but they were Pro Bs then, got into the Dunks and got into the SBs. That was like probably 2002, 2003. A lot of people don't know this, a guy named Kenlo. If you remember going to Foot Locker, it was a brand called Players University. Remember the Players University t-shirts? Kenlo Jackson, he's originally from Dayton, Ohio, but he lived in Atlanta. He had like the first real sneaker boutique in Atlanta. outside of
what was it called?
It was called Classic Souls. And him and his partner, actually, a lot of you guys in the music business probably know the name of Jaha Johnson. Jaha and Kenlo was partners in the first store, and they used to go to Packers in Jersey, and they would go to New York and buy like all of the shoes and bring them back. Like, that was the store where I got my Canada Air Force One Mids with the flag on the side. I still got like three or four pairs. I actually gave Drake a pair a few years ago when he came.
Just gave them to him? I would be charging Drake.
They're white with the red leaf on it, right?
I still got like three pair of them, but they had, remember, the boxes were terrible. The boxes were super soggy, but like Kenlo would go and get all those shoes. Like, he had the SBs, the Espos. Remember the Espos, the clear Espos?
Yeah, Air Force 2s,
The Air Force 2s. I got those from there. One shoe that I really, really like are the SB, the soccer shoe. What was it called? Like the
FC.
Zoom FC, yeah.
You had it in the Brazilian colorway, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I got the green one, and I got the gray, and red was crazy too.
You said that when you would go to Standard on Peachtree, heat was just sitting because not many people were aware back then in Atlanta. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. I can remember, like, when I shot the stutter video with Saha, like, the week before when I went in there to talk to Fashad about the video shoot, the Patas, they was on sale.
That's crazy. Pata Air Max 1.
They was in the middle of the floor on sale. And wow. I just bought another pair because I already had a pair, but I knew they was fly because I actually wore the Pata t-shirt that Pata sent me from Pata in the video. So when I saw the shoes sitting on sale, like, I just grabbed them. I just grabbed the extra pair.
Unbelievable.
You were saying that they were getting the shoes from New York and bringing them down. Like, when the SB stuff hit, was there still a lot of like SBs in Atlanta, or did you have to search a little harder to try and get the shoes?
No, they had stores out here. You had like Stratosphere, you had Hazard County Skate Shop, which was on the south side. Up north in Canton, Georgia, you had Progressive. And I used to go to all those skate shops. I remember when Tiffany's first came out, I bought Tiffany's for Skip Cheatham. I gave Coach K a pair. Because a lot of people don't know Coach K from QC. He was a big sneakerhead too. Long time ago. Yes, long time ago. He wasn't one of the guys who just got in. Like,
Coach K was on the SB wave back then.
Way back then.
Wow.
Way back then.
Coach K was ahead of everything, huh?
Coach K was in the game way back then. Killer Mike was in the game way back then. Mm-hmm. Bone Crusher was in the game back then. Dallas Austin was in the game back then. But Dallas and Akon was always like all Adidas because they was always the guys who wanted to go left when everybody else went right.
Okay. Greg, I want to know, you said you were buying sneakers since the late 80s, getting original Jordans and things like that, but when did it become collecting sneakers for you, when you were going and getting two pairs and getting multiple pairs? Because I feel like there weren't a lot of people really, really collecting in the early 90s, late 80s.
Man, it was crazy. Like, anything that I get into, I really get into it. Like,
You got to go all the way.
I ride Harley Davidsons. I got eight bikes.
Wow.
you know what I'm saying? I fish. I buy $800 fishing rods.
You're like Just Blaze. Just Blaze is just like that, you guys.
We born on the same day.
Wow, really?
Ah.
Yeah, we born on the same day.
Interesting. That's what it reminds me of.
It's like whatever I do, like I always buy two or three pair. Like if I go to Bass Pro Shop and they got a dope hat, I'm going to buy three or four because I know what I want. When they get old, you can't get anymore. Nobody's going to have a fresh one.
You're going to Bass Pro Shop for the dead stock gear? Is that the new wave?
I mean, some stuff. You see a hat, you see something you want. And like the other day I was fishing and my Greg Cabela's hat, it flew off in the water and it sank. So just luckily I had bought three. So it wasn't really a big deal. But it's like with sneakers, it was the same way. Like I can remember when Foot Locker in South DeKalb Mall and Greenbrier Mall in Atlanta was the number one Foot Lockers in the world because guys would come into Foot Locker and buy boxes of Air Force Ones. They would buy cases of them. Like, give me a case for my kid, a case for me, and a case for my girl.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's how they was buying shoes in Atlanta. So many people was wearing them. That's why I started wearing New Balance. You know what I'm saying?
Because there were too many Air Force Ones.
Everybody was wearing Air Force Ones. And then I started wearing the New Balance 998s, the 999s, 1500s.
I think one of the things that strikes me the most about you is when you've shown off your sneaker collection is like how diverse your sneaker collection is compared to a lot of people where you see these big sneaker collections and it's always like the expected grails, you know? But like you're saying, New Balance, like I know you have like all like the Soulbox New Balances and stuff like that, but when you go through it, you have the Adidas, you have, you know, Fila, you have all that stuff. Like, where did your appreciation come from then, like being into all the different brands rather than just like the grails that everyone sees at Flight Club, you know?
It's like if you're really into it, it's like you look for stuff better than just the norm of what everybody is on because Jay-Z put it on, or just because Fabulous put it on, or because I saw Lil Wayne wear it in a video. It's so crazy that like the sneaker culture now is like people watch a video, and I understand the business side of it, but it's like the videos that get the most views are the videos of people who don't know what the hell is going on. And I understand why if you're on a media platform like Joe, you have to do that because that's how you make money.
Me and Mayer have had the talks, and like Clark, you know, the OGs always talk about it. They get it. You know, it's building audience. You know, for you playing records, I'm sure it's kind of the same. You know
it's
what I mean?
It's the same way. I tell artists all the time because everybody thinks if Greg Street plays my record, I'm out of here. It's not that. It's like, you have to understand, people don't go in the record store. Radio stations play these same songs over and over again because they're not stupid. People go, when the record stores are open, or if you go to iTunes, you go to Spotify, you go to Tidal, wherever you go listen to music you want to hear. You don't just go pull up some music you never heard of.
Right.
So it's the same thing. People buy what they have some familiarity with.
You mentioned Jay-Z putting people onto sneakers. We have to have this discussion because it's been a big topic on Twitter in the last week. Did you see the whole commotion about who really started the Air Force One trend? Did you see this on Twitter, Greg?
I missed it.
So basically, 2015 interview with A$AP Rocky resurfaced where he kind of took responsibility for bringing Air Force Ones back. And the quote was, coming out with the Air Force One thing, I lie to you not. You could ask my manager. It was all premeditated. I said, listen, I'm going to wear these wax sneakers. It was 2011. I said, I'm going to wear these wax sneakers just to test a scene. And, you know, A$AP Mob popularized a lot of trends in the modern space, but how it happens on the internet, the old clip resurfaced and there was like this debate who kind of started Air Force Ones, and then it was A$AP Rocky and then Nelly and then Jay-Z and old New York hustlers and older generation rappers were in the mix too. So as someone who is kind of like in the mix, and I know that you have two pair of the Nellyville Air Force Ones, from your vantage point, what would you say?
Every celebrity that starts a trend, I'm going to say it again. Every celebrity that starts a trend is actually following somebody that's in their camp.
Okay.
Okay.
That you don't know. Like, for example, with Kanye and Don C.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So there's somebody behind the scene with Jay-Z who he's watching, you know, hey, that's kind of fresh. I'm going to put that on and I'm going to do whatever I do to it. That's why I try to explain to a lot of brands, like, was it IBM did a big deal with Dwayne Wade?
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys go spend these millions of dollars with these celebrities. Like, what kind of influence do you think Dwayne Wade is going to have on somebody buying a computer?
Right.
Like, some of these people just really don't understand how culture really works. And they've muddied the water so bad, just crazy. Like, when you look at Air Force Ones, this is where I give respect to brands. Somebody had to come up with this concept.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody came up with this shoe. When you look at Nike, you look at Adidas, the reason why they're so successful, and you look at all these people who talk about the sneaker game is whack, and this person ain't this, and this person not that, and I can do a better job, I can do this, I can do that. Okay, these people are successful first because they have so many original silhouettes.
You mean the actual brands?
The brands. Like, you know, you hear all the sidebar talk about who this and Jay-Z made this popular and who did that and who did this. But the brands are really the people who put their neck on the line, came up with these silhouettes, and put this stuff out and people gravitated to it. And it wasn't a quick process. They weathered the storm. They was dealing with coronavirus, COVID-19, way back when they created this shit.
Yeah, you know, COVID-72.
They was COVID-72. They was COVID-85. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I'm about to come out with this and put my life savings into it to take a chance to see if the athletes first are going to like it. It wasn't even about the fashion.
Right.
So when people talk about the artists, because I could put you guys up on some game.
Please.
Go back to the first interview with me and A$AP Rocky. I put him onto the sneaker game.
Oh?
Go back to the first interview before he had any Adidas, before he had any deal. Go back to the I don't even know if I have it. Go back to the first interview because Rocky's my guy. And we was talking about sneakers. This was before he did the photo shoot with old boy. What's his name?
Jeremy Scott.
Before all that. This was way before all that. When he first came out, he came to V103. We kicked it. We still tight. And I was telling him about some different sneakers and some stuff that I was getting him, you know, some stuff that he needed to have if he was really going to be in this game. These are the type of things that you really need to connect yourself to if you're going to be a part of this culture from a real genuine love and a real genuine side, because you're going to be in an international circuit with your rapping brand. You'll be able to get exposed to a whole lot more than the average person. But if you're really into it, you'll stumble up on some stuff that nobody's ever had. Like, I have 3 pair of plus 41 Air Max. Most people in the sneaker game don't even know what they are. And I found out about them because I saw them on a Sneaker Freaker cover and went into research on them when the magazine first dropped.
It sounds like you don't give credit to any particular rapper for really making the Air Force One hot. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Do you think Nelly deserves some credit? Because I think Nelly deserves a decent amount of credit in this. Like, Jay-Z was obviously wearing Air Force Ones before that, but Nelly made a whole song about them. And for people who didn't understand the shoe, it was like an easy guide to what exactly this is and what it means. You know what I mean?
Nelly is one of the smartest rappers to ever rap, first of all. And he's a great friend of mine, and he's a real guy. So you got to think, see, like, Jay-Z is a great businessman, but sometimes he overthinks.
No, he's a businessman.
And sometimes when you're a businessman and you focus on that so much, sometimes you screw yourself out of a lot of stuff that you don't attach yourself to in the right way. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to organically bring yourself into a situation, and then that situation will evolve into the businessman. You know what I'm saying? Nelly made the song. He wasn't really thinking about Nike going to give him a shoe or Nike going to do a deal with him. He did it because he knew everybody was in the Air Force Ones, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to attach myself to this brand, to this silhouette, and I'm going to create something around it. Nelly is one of the smartest rappers. I mean, next to Drake, there's a few of my favorites. Nelly, Drake, Snoop, Jay-Z.
Is it safe to say when we look back in the history books, and if we tried to write like an objective truth, you know, of like, what made culture move? Do we say that Nelly was the one who, I know we said there's always people behind it, but was Nelly the one who started the Air Force One boom in the 2000s?
Nelly is the reason why guys was going to the store buying cases of Air Force Ones. He is the reason, because he put it
mainstream.
Not just mainstream, you gotta think. He put at least a $2 million campaign behind it.
Mm-hmm. The amount of reach with that song, like, gigantic.
For Nike, it was probably a $10 million campaign.
But also, Rocky definitely influenced a whole crop of younger people, I'm sure.
He also made people wear Air Force One mids, which is weird. That's the weird part about it.
He has crazy influence.
I still have my canvas mids brand new in the box. Mm-hmm. I had 2 pairs. That was probably like 96, the red canvas mids. Rocky is an influencer.
For sure.
You have to understand, it's a difference between being an influencer and being a creator. You know what I'm saying? People got to understand how to draw the line. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. Like, Nelly created a movement behind a shoe that had a buzz, which he influenced. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like same thing with Puffy and Ciroc. Ciroc was around years before Puffy became part of the brand.
Right.
So it's like some people have enough influence to take certain products to a whole nother level. But it has to start somewhere. It has to start somewhere. And it started with somebody in the lab saying, okay, I know I can create something. I'm just not just going to talk about I'm going to come out with my own sneaker. I'm going to create these silhouettes. And hopefully through a course of time, these silhouettes will become legendary.
Right. Really, really mean something.
Right.
One thing I wanted to talk about, like, influence and creating. One story that I saw about a Grammy Nike Dunk that you had the idea, and then a year later, John Mayer wore it on stage. What was that about?
Well, what happened was me and Clark, we did an event for the Nike Air Force 25.
Okay.
The 25th anniversary in LA. And that was kind of like during the time when I was still doing Air Force Ones, but I was more into the dunks. I wanted to do a dunk because the party was during Grammys. The Air Force One party in LA was during Grammy weekend.
Got it.
I wanted to do a dunk, and they was trying to promote the Air Force One and the Air Force One 2. The Air Force One 2 was the big push
right
during the Air Force 25 anniversary.
This is 2007.
Right. So they made us these crazy Air Force 2s. I think mine had headphones all over it.
Okay.
Because we was doing the Beats by Dre stuff, and Clark's had Grammy trophies all over it. And but I wanted to do the dunk. And they was like, well, we can't do the dunk because we're doing the Air Force 25 anniversary. And then the next year, Grammy weekend, John Mayer wore the dunk that they created for the Grammys on stage, which was—
Did they steal your idea?
Well, you know, Nike's— Nike is a double-edged sword.
It's an talk about it.
It's an incredible company.
Yes.
You have to give them their credit, but they are definitely the greatest thieves of all times.
When did you start realizing this?
Long time. I'm going to tell you when I really started realizing it. Me and Mayor Clark went into the Nike studio and did some shoes. I can't remember what year it was.
You mean like the Nike Elizabeth Street store, the early Nike ID store in New York City?
You were super early on that. I remember you had some Air Max turbulences from the ID. I love that silhouette. Welty didn't like it as much as I do.
That shoe was from a different thing. It was no Nike ID lab then.
Okay.
When Nike first launched Nike ID, we did the promotion at V103. That's where that shoe came from.
Got it.
It was years later after we went to the store. But
okay.
When we started going to the store, and Izzy was in the store. Izzington was in the store.
Israel Mateo.
Yep.
Currently a Jordan brand.
We was creating all of those Air Force Ones with the denim. Mayer did the ones with the Levi's. I was supposed to do a pair with the denim, but I never sent my jeans in. Way back then, I wanted to do the Fragment denim Air Force One.
Okay.
And I never sent the jeans to Izzy so he could do them. The whole denim Air Force One thing, if you remember the shoes that they posted on Hypebeast that I created, the Dodo Bird leather with the gum soles.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start coming out with the white Air Force Ones with the gum soles, and they do what they do. You know what I'm saying? And you got to respect it because, you know, it's their product. They own the product. So
right. But you've benefited from this relationship too. Like, how did you start being able to get all the most limited stuff? I mean, we've seen videos of your collection. You have everything, but you don't just have everything. You have three pairs of everything.
Dizzy Rascals.
I spent a lot of money.
Did you?
is it that simple? Because a lot of guys like to pretend like they have some secret codes or they know everybody. But I appreciate that you're just kind of being upfront. Is that what it is? You just spend the money?
Nike has sent me a few pair of shoes, a few. But they've never sent me like anything super crazy. I'll put it to you like this.
Mm.
When the Dornbeckers first came out, they used to give us those. They gave me the twos. They gave me a pair of threes. They didn't give me the fours. I bought the fours. They gave me the spare sixes. I could count the amount of shoes that Nike has given me probably on one hand.
Really? Greg Street not getting the crazy free Nike packages like that?
No.
But you've gotten gifts from artists and stuff. Does any stick out? I mean, like, I know Pekkas gave you the Black Album Air Force Ones. What in that vein gifts have you got?
Pekkas gave me the Black Album Air Force One. 2 Chainz gave me the Versace's,
okay.
The Chain Reaction.
Where were you getting like the Def Jam S-Dots and the Street Team Def Jam S-Dot Carters and things like that?
I got the Def Jam S-Dots from Def Jam. I got those from Def Jam. And then I bought a pair. I found a pair. You probably see them right here somewhere. I bought a pair actually off eBay about 6 months ago. They was like just sitting there for the Lolo, like for $100.
Wow.
Brand new. Like that's actually how I got the Kanye S-Dot Carters. I was watching this listing on eBay, right? It ended like at 3 o'clock in the morning and I was in the club. It ended like 3:30. Club closed at 3. I went in the office and I'm watching it. I'm watching the listing. You're not going to believe this. The listing was at like 2:50.
Okay.
But it was at 3 in the morning. Nobody was paying attention. Mm-hmm. I got them for like $325. Like these shoes are like $4,000.
Wow.
You had the bid sniper or anything?
In the club watching the listing.
And see, a lot of people be like, you know, fakes. You'll get fakes on eBay. But if I'll take a chance on $200, $300 for a shoe that's worth $4,000, it not being real.
Have you ever gotten beat on fakes?
Yeah. A couple times.
What was it?
One of them was Adidas. I tried to get another pair of the black ape skates. The suede was the one of 100s. I sent Joe my pair for a photo shoot once. But I tried to get another pair, and they was fake. And long, long time ago, before Paul Rosenberg gave me my Eminem 4s.
This dude was just complaining about not getting free sneakers from Nike. And then he goes on to say Paul Rosenberg sent him the Eminem Jordans.
Yeah, Paul, he didn't work for Nike?
You got money.
Okay, what about like Dizzy Rascal 180s?
I bought two pair. I got two pair of those. Okay. I got the ones in the friends and family box. Every shoe that's attached to music, whether it's a DJ or artist, mm-hmm. I can remember when Deftone Dunks was on eBay for like $800 and I didn't get a pair. I was like,
oh man.
And I should have got them. And I always knew I should have got them.
All this extremely rare stuff in your collection. I hope people are Googling all these shoes because I know some of our listeners don't necessarily know the history behind every single one of these pairs. Is there something that you prize above everything else, Greg? Is there like one grail shoe you have that took you a really, really long time to get or anything like that?
The Kobe Big Nike MVP. That's one. Okay. Because there's a girl here in Atlanta. You probably heard of her. She had a big blog site called SandraRose.com.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
She actually put up a post when the shoe came out saying, I bet Greg Street can't get these. And I got two pair. I actually, me and Paul.
He said, challenge accepted.
Yeah, me and Polo would be in the studio every night. And I knew Polo the Don is like the biggest Kobe Bryant fan on planet Earth. Like, okay. Him and Kobe was cool. I bought a pair for him, and I bought a pair for myself.
You talked about your love for Nike SB. What do you think about, you know, the current resurgence of Nike SB due to people like Travis wearing the shoes?
I love it. I think Nike knows the potential of a lot of these brands that they kind of let just fall to the side because they know at any time, just say if Jordan has a slump, we can come put some air in the SB. If SB has a slump, we can put some air into Air Force One. If Air Force One has a slump, we can put some air into Air Max.
They already have air.
Yeah, a little bit. And if Air Max take a slump, we can put some air into foam posits. Nike and Adidas are so successful because they have so many silhouettes. I tell Wex all the time at Adidas, they don't put enough energy into, and I know it's a German company, and they're so big globally that I don't think they really put enough energy into the different silhouettes that they have.
Old silhouettes or new silhouettes?
The old ones, like some of the old ones.
Because they have an archive. They have a gigantic archive, a bigger archive than Nike. Yeah. Greg, what's the status of your whole sneaker collection right now? Like, where do you store all this stuff? I heard you had sneakers in your pantry instead of food. Is that right?
No, that's a lie.
No,
Greg. Who says that? Mayor. Mayor says that. Yeah. Mayor,
true or false? Is there food in your pantry or are there sneakers in your pantry?
There's sneakers everywhere.
You got insurance on all this stuff?
What are you, the feds?
No, but I think it's such a big question for people who have a bunch of shoes stored up and not necessarily a thought process around how to protect them or what happens if there's a fire or something like that. You know?
They burn up.
How many sneakers are you still buying a week, Greg?
It just depends on what comes out. Like, I think right now, I fish in my Black Yeezys. I just bought the 900s. I'm fishing in those.
Okay.
I'm fishing in the Utility 500s.
You're really big about this fishing life. Is this a lifelong passion for you?
I've seen on his Instagram, and you're definitely wearing, like, heat to fish in, huh?
Yeah, just the Adidas, the Black Utilities, and the new 900.
He's pulling up to Cabela's like it was Walter's.
Besides the fishing sneakers, has there been a certain silo or a certain brand that you're feeling recently?
I like that Dwayne Wade shoes, like a collaboration he did with Rick Ross.
The Li Ning joints, really?
Yeah.
What's the most absurd thing you've done for a pair of sneakers?
Call Mayor and tell him to go to Mercer and get them.
You had Mayor run into the store for you?
Yeah.
What was it?
The Pata Air Max.
Greg, you see like a lot of, you know, younger Atlanta rappers such as, you know, Yachty and Offset. Do you think they're giving you a run for your money when it comes to sneaker collections or?
Well, I have a different philosophy when it comes to that. Like, Lil Yachty's coming to my house this week because he wants the A-Towns. Remember Kenlo, I was telling you about from Classic Souls, he actually created a shoe back then. It was called the A-Town. It was like an Air Force One, and it had the A on it, like the lowercase cursive Braves A.
Okay.
It was on a shoe. And I'm like the only person that still has a big collection of them, and me and Yachty wear the same size. So he's actually coming to my house to get a pair.
Make sure he wears a mask.
We got him.
Yeah, Yachty has a lot of rare sneakers. And how do you feel about like consignment shops where like around two where you can find super, super rare sneakers and even like the consignment shops that we have in the city where coming up, it seems like you had to dig a little to find things unless you disagree and Standard on Peachtree really had all the rare stuff.
I was a part of it like when it first started bubbling. I know Demani, the guy who owned Flight Club, who started it.
Right.
And Demani, when he used to go overseas, I used to actually have him buy me the Fizu jeans because over there, the Fizu jeans, they had the paint on.
Okay.
And they had the red tab on the pocket like Levi's. But they couldn't sell them in the States because Levi's has a patent on that red tag. Being anything in the seam of the pocket, you can't do it.
Interesting.
Demani, Chris, Ken, the Asian kid that worked in there. Mm-hmm. Like, we was all tight. Like, I spent thousands of dollars, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars at Flight Club.
Any sneakers stand out that you were buying from there?
I bought all types of stuff out there. Like people, like people who was talking down on the sneaker game, who actually talked down on the sneaker game now, who don't, because they don't understand it. They've never flew to New York and saw the lights.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they don't really understand it. Like sneakers for us was bigger than the stock market. Like I might have a few thousand dollars invested in my collection, but I could probably sell it $600,000-$700,000.
Right.
You think?
I mean, you got to imagine a 7-pair autographed Yeezys is worth what?
I'm not disputing. I just want to know the number.
I don't know. I've never really put an actual number on it.
How did you first meet Demainey? Because he's such a legendary figure, and we've talked about it on this show before.
I was spending so much money in the store online just buying stuff, and then I knew people that knew him. Mm-hmm. And Chris.
Chris Vidal.
I bought some stuff from Chris.
Do you miss those days at all, Greg?
I mean, they're still here. What we have to do is, like, we got to push the envelope with these brands. There should be a complex sneaker. You guys should be able to go to Nike, Jordan, Adidas, Puma, New Balance, whoever, and say, listen, we want to do a pack. Mm-hmm. We want to do one shoe from each brand.
Talk about it.
And put them in a pack.
Yeah.
One of the things that I always did with Sneaker Friends, if you notice, I never aligned myself with one brand. Even like when Adidas sponsored Sneaker Friends, it was still Nike's, Puma's, and everything on the poster. And I had to make them understand in the calls that we were having about, like, listen, I don't want your money bad enough to just put your stuff all on my poster and all over everything that I'm doing. I think that was the downfall of Soul Collector. They got so in bed with Nike and Jordan, it messed the whole thing up.
Was that where basically the magazine was heavily featured, Nike and Jordan?
It was a Jordan issue. It was a Nike issue. Like, what about Adidas and Puma and New Balance and all this other stuff that's going on? So I think with Sneaker Friends, I always made brands understand when they was a sponsor, like, this is not going to be a Puma event. This is not going to be, even though, like, Adidas even did a shoe. We did a Sneaker Friends shoe. So, like, this is not going to be an Adidas event.
One thing at Sneaker Friends, crowded, I remember at the compound, and GLC was there, and I accidentally bumped into him, and he, like, had a drink, and it spilled on him a tiny bit. And then I walked, like, I didn't realize I did it. I walked, like, one step, and he tapped me on the shoulder. He said, excuse me, you don't say sorry? And I was like, oh, my bad. But, and then the other thing that I don't know if you could end this debate, because I always ask Mayor. Mayor says that you saved me from getting beat up by Mayor. Do you know what it was about? He said it was when we went to Charlotte Sneaker Friends, and I didn't even know that there was any static.
You was going to beat him up.
No, he was going to beat me up. He was, and Mayor always says, DJ Greg Street saved you from a beatdown. And I'm like, what was it about? And he was like, I don't remember. Do you remember?
I don't remember, but my whole thing with people when they get upset about different situations, you just have to really look at it from both sides of the table. Like, everybody don't see what you see when you're trying to assess something from your side. You got to try to look at it from all angles to try to figure out what's going on.
I'm so mad we can't solve this myth about Joe almost getting
I know.
There was stuffed into a locker by Mayor.
There was definitely static there.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to Joe.
Uh-oh.
If he comes back to Atlanta and shoots another season and don't call me, I'm going to beat his ass.
Fair enough. That's fair.
We do need an update, because all those old G-Rock videos, the shoe game, big shout out to G-Rock. I love that dude so much. Longtime supporter.
And to be honest, sneak peek also.
Yeah.
Sneak peek, George Kiel. But absolutely, you were right. We need to go to Gus's. I remember Sneaker Friends was the first time I was in a W hotel. I thought, like, I made it. And it was all because of this guy. He had the ill hookup at the W hotel. You still have that hookup?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's in the same building with the radio station.
Oh, man.
You see what he said? I had him at the W Hotel.
Yes, he did.
On a nice flight. Made sure he was straight.
There's a producer on this call who won't chime in, but his name is Dave Matthews. He's my producer. He's from Atlanta. He was very excited about this. You have my word. We are taking you out to dinner next time we're in Atlanta.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I think it's funny you mentioned George Kiel. I think the first time I met him was in 2013. And I don't know how your name, Greg, got brought up. And he was like, dude, do you know how big Greg Street is? He's like, out in Austin. He's like, that's all everyone listens to. Like, the music, like, stretches, like, that far. And, like, I didn't, you know, I saw your name on the internet, but I didn't realize how big your impact was across the South.
And artists, like, when they would come through Atlanta, they would, like, stay with you even, right? Is that true?
A few of them, yeah.
You had to clean out all the shoes in the guest room and set some vintage orange Nike boxes aside.
That's another house.
Wow.
You and Mayor got too many houses, man.
You never get too much property.
Greg, before we go, you know, you talk about watching eBay listings and things like that. How much of that stuff are you doing currently? Are you still doing that to this day, watching eBay? Are you looking at StockX? Are you looking at consignment? When I talked to PJ Tucker, he's like, I'm hitting contacts nonstop.
I buy a lot of stuff off of StockX. I buy a lot of stuff. In fact, my boy Dane from Detroit, he was actually the promotions person over there for a while.
Okay.
I buy a lot of stuff from StockX. I still watch eBay listings sometimes. I don't watch them as much as I used to. I used to stay on eBay for hours looking at
it. You're like a 10 and a half, Greg?
Yeah.
Let's talk.
What you need?
What you need?
Tell Joe, send me your address. I'm going to send you something. Hey, wow. I'm going to tell you something crazy that we didn't talk about on this?
Let's go.
We'll close it out with this.
Yes.
Joe called me, right? And he said, Greg, I got a friend of mine that I want to bring to Sneaker Friends. I said, cool, bring him.
Who was it?
You forgot?
Hold on. There was a friend of mine.
Ronnie. I got to guess.
Ronnie Feig.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Think about that.
What year is this? 2007, 2006 or so?
It was either 8 or 10.
He was there, and there's pictures online of him at Sneaker Friends. Man.
If you talk to Trinidad, you were Trinidad all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not interested in being famous. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather be the guy rich that can walk to the mailbox with the furry house shoes on and nobody knows who he is in the neighborhood.
Mm.
But like XXL just recognized the 48 greatest DJs of all times. I was on that list.
Amazing.
I'm always in the top three on the Source Power 30 DJ. So I get my recognition. But as far as like all the hype for everybody to know,
yeah.
You know, Michael Jordan, like you got kids now who's never been to a Michael Jordan basketball game, never seen him play, but they know about the Michael Jordan sneakers. Like, do you really want to be that guy?
Absolutely. Well, you're definitely certified by everyone in this industry, new and old, and this was definitely a box that we had to check for you being a guest, and we can't thank you enough for taking the time with us. And next time we're in Atlanta, definitely taking you out to dinner. I've said it a few times on this podcast, but I really think of Sneaker Friends so fondly, and it was early on in my career where I made these connections, and happy to chop it up with you a decade later.
I just want to say, before we get out, I had so much fun going back watching all those old G-Rock videos, like I said, the Shoe Game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he deserves so much credit for all that stuff.
My video was the first video of like a Show Your Collection video on YouTube.
There we go. We got to close the circle.
Absolutely. Greg, thank you so much. Stay safe. We will see you soon in Atlanta. And again, from all of us, we can't thank you enough for doing this.
Appreciate you.
Our producer is Shiva Bayet. Sound engineering done by Kyle Garvey. Special thanks to Dave Matthews and Jennifer Stewart. The Complex Sneakers Podcast is part of the Complex Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.